kind of speak on, actually, from Ephesians. Ephesians has a very strong call to me, especially when it comes to the understanding of Trinity. Trinity may seem like a light and a trivial thing, but I think it's very, very important. I think it's a very important understanding of doctrine, because we don't worship three gods. We worship one living God, who in reality is found in three persons. Yes, there is an aspect that we must believe it by faith, but I think the Scripture points very strongly to its truth. So we're going to read from Ephesians. We're going to read chapter 1. You can remain seated as this is a teaching text. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 14, reading in Jesus' name. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ, grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, in which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise in his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we look at a word such as this, it's not a hope, it is a promise. We pray, Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, above and beyond all things, this word is truth. Allow us to see it. Allow us to know it. And allow us to live it, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Ephesus is a very interesting city, there's no doubt about it. Paul spent quite a bit of time ministering unto this city. He spent a lot of time encouraging them and bringing to them the truth of the gospel, always pointing to the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when you really turn around and you listen to how Ephesus is laid out, you know, the letter to the Ephesians, how it's laid out, it's so powerful in the aspect of what God is doing in and through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That really brings in the whole aspect of Trinity. God the Father working through God the Son to give us life by God the Holy Spirit, to make us worthy vessels. Paul wanted to bring that out so powerfully. And if you listen to it, it's amazing when you read the whole book how many times it speaks of in Christ, through Christ, by God, by the Spirit. It doesn't talk about us and what our performances are. It talks about the gift that is given to us and we receive by grace through faith. What a powerful, powerful testimony. So when we turn around and we read this letter, we are encouraged that God so desired for restoration in our behalf that He gave His only Son. And His Son has accomplished this great work. But Ephesus also brings up controversy. When we read the letter to the Ephesians, it brings up this aspect where people get stuck on one word and then they can't look beyond it because we're such, I want to say Finlanders. But whatever we may be, human, we hear a word such as predestination. Predestined. And so then we start getting into theological debates and we start arguing. Our church is full of them, and I'm talking about the whole Federation. It's full of these arguments and these debates, and really, we don't have enough time to get into that, and I think it's a bunch of waste of time. The fact of it is what the letter to the Ephesians so boldly speaks to us is God has destined a path of salvation for all, in and through Jesus Christ, by faith through grace. That's really what it speaks. If we're going to turn around and go down the understandings of different predestination ideas, yes, there are those that believe in dual predestination. I do not believe in that. Dual predestination basically means God has destined some for heaven and some for hell. That is not my God. It's not because I don't like the idea. Sometimes I think it'd be kind of convenient as a human being if I could just say, well, God didn't want them anyway. But that is not what is laid out in the Scripture. The God in reality has sent His only begotten Son for the world. When He died for the sins, it says it died for the sins of the whole world, not just for a select few. It also speaks in the aspect that this gift that we have of this forgiveness is so wonderful and so beautiful. But what good is it if people don't know about it? So, we're not going to go on that road. I believe in God has destined a path of salvation for all peoples in and through Jesus Christ by faith through grace. So if there's any question where I stand, that's where I stand. And it's important for you to know that because I stand up here as your pastor. So Paul now comes to us in this very powerful letter. He comes to us and he speaks to us in such a great way. But before we get there, I want to read another part of Scripture. I want to read in reality from the book of Acts, and I want to read from chapter 20, and I'll start at verse 26. I got to find it here. I put my clip in the wrong spot. Can you imagine that? Hold on. We got nowhere to go. It's okay. Paul is speaking now, and he's speaking in reality to the church now, and he's speaking really from Ephesus. He's going to leave. He's done his ministry there, and he's going to leave. He spent a lot of time, a lot of investment. It's a very interesting thing. He says, now, wherefore, he says, I take you to record. Paul is saying, I want you all to be held accountable on this day. He says, that I am pure from all the blood of men. In other words, he's innocent of any lost blood. He says, for I have not shunned to declare to you the counsel of God. In other words, he says very plainly, I've done my job. I've preached the gospel. I've preached to you. You guys have heard it. You know it. You can't hold me accountable if you don't believe. He turns around and he says, so take heed therefore unto yourselves. He says, pay attention. Take care of. He says, unto yourselves to all the flock over which what? It says, the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. He's speaking to the elders of the church. He says, I've done my job. I've preached the word. He says, now you are the elders of this church. You must take responsibility. Because the Holy Ghost has given you this position to be overseers. He says, and to feed what? The church of God. The Holy Spirit has given you the power to feed the church of God. Okay? Which he has purchased with his own blood. The Holy Spirit has given you the ability to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Can you divide that out? Do you hear even the name of Jesus invoked in this? And I'm not saying it's not. It's found within the Trinity. Who died on the cross? We know Christ did. It does not separate. Man separates. Paul is saying very powerfully and very boldly, he says, I have done my job. I've preached the gospel. I've given you what you need. Now you are going to be held accountable because the Holy Spirit has given you the authority to oversee this church of God. He says, and he purchased it, not me, not anybody else. He purchased it with his own blood. That, to me, speaks volumes of Trinity. How God, in reality, has given of himself for us. So that's the first thing that we want to look into as we even go into this letter to Ephesians. But Paul now comes across very powerfully. He comes across very powerfully in opening up. He says, Paul, an apostle. This means a sent one, okay, of Jesus Christ. Paul is a sent one of Jesus Christ, he says, by the will of God, because God wanted him to go forward. And we can find that in the Scripture. He says, to the saints which are in Ephesus, those that are set apart for a purpose, sanctified. He says, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. It is the same people he's speaking to, by faith through grace. Then he gives this promise, he gives this greeting, he says, grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, blessed be our God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, do you know how lucky we are? Do you know how awesome we actually have it, how blessed we really are. He says, I'm coming here to bring you these great greetings. I'm coming here to share with you this good news that God has now grace for you. And because of this grace, we live in peace. Are you looking for peace? This world often looks for peace, even though it doesn't act like it does. We seek for comfort. We seek for consolation. We seek for so much in other areas. And in reality, the only peace that we will truly find is in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. To have that redemptive work in our behalf. That is peace. Where we owe nothing. He gives this promise and he speaks it. And he says, now blessed in reality, highly favored should be God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has actually given us all spiritual blessings. And we are present there by the finished work of Jesus Christ, represented even in heaven. Do you not know that? I think I've shared that with you before. There was a certain pastor, and I'm not going to say his name, but you know, it starts with J and W as his initials. But the fact of it is, I got so irritated one time at class. Because I was going through struggle, I was going through difficulties, and I'm like, you don't seem to get it. In fact, you act like you're already living in heaven as it is. And he looked at him and he says, well, brother, I am. It says in Christ Jesus, I'm seated in heavenly places. My name in reality is written in the book of life by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember the one who purchased it? To live in that fashion. Yeah, there's a lot of grief out there. There's a lot of difficulty. We're going through battles and wars of sickness and health and financial. And some of it's my own fault for sure. But I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God knows me. And God knows you. And he has given himself for you, that you would have this hope. He says, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says, according as he has chosen. Listen to the words. It's not of my performance. It's not what I can do. It's not what church I go to, how I act. And in reality, he says that he has chosen us. We teach it to Sunday school kids, don't we? But do we hear it? Do we teach out of just rogue? Do we teach out of habit? And we tell the children, why do we love Jesus? Because he loved us first. It's true. It's not out of habit. It's not because this is what we're supposed to teach just to make little kids feel better. It's for us adults to understand that he has chosen us. Now I want you to stop and think about this, because it says, in Him. No more. It doesn't make a difference between the Spirit, between God, and between Christ. It speaks in Him. We have been chosen. He says, actually, before you even started sinning. That's my words. I added that stuff in there. So if you look in King James, it's not there that way. But think about what it says. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Do you rejoice in your heart because God the Father has chosen you before you even became? Before you even came into existence upon this earth, your God has chosen you. He loves us. He created all things and He looked at it and He said, it is good. Half the time we run around saying, it is bad. It is good. It has been tainted. A little goofed up. Some weeds in that garden. Whatever you may say. But Christ came to bring back life. And to bring it abundantly. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Consecrated. And listen to these words. Please, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't look to your neighbor, don't look to anybody else. Hear these words for yourself. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In and through love. For God so loved this world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him shall have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. It's so bad, as we would say. But that He may save it. That we would be without blame before Him. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. See, this is where it comes in to clarify. He has already set this path in motion. He has given the sacrifice for the world. He has done all of this, but yet now by adoption. And I believe very strongly this speaks of faith by grace, or grace by faith, however. This speaks of an aspect of believing. But even that is a gift of God. We spend so much time trying to clarify, we can often miss the fact of God has so loved us, He has bought us. Not only has He bought us, He's actually paid all our old debts. And He desires for us to have a relationship. But what good is it if we don't know it? Oh my. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel. I got some nice shoes. Steve Erickson likes them, I know that. But they're not really that beautiful. It's all of our feet. It is the marching army, if you could say it this way, of the believers of Jesus Christ entering into this world, proclaiming His good news. That they bring a sobering, a hopeful, and a rejoiceful message of restoration. He has given this path. God wanted to do this. And that's what He'll continue on. He says, He has allowed us to be children of adoption by Christ Jesus. This is what God wanted. To Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He wanted to because it makes Him feel good. Can we relate to that? Can we relate to doing something for somebody? Because in reality, it just feels good. I hope we can. I'm not saying it in a conceited way. But that if we're able to help somebody, even in a minor thing in their life, and does it not bring joy? To turn around and to see somebody happy because you've allowed, or you've had the opportunity, is a better way of stating it, you've had the opportunity to give them a foot up in a certain area. Does it not make your heart rejoice? Do you not think it makes God rejoice? Doesn't it say the whole host of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents? Or is that just written for fun? Are we now grown up? We've grown past these things. No, heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. Heaven rejoices over one Christian that in reality acts as a Christian. I really truly believe it. I believe God has set in motion this path, and when it continues to go forward, I believe it brings Him joy. Maybe I'm crazy. Does it not say that Christ went to the cross and He was on that cross for the joy that was set before Him? Doesn't really sound like a fun time to me. But He looked beyond the circumstance and He looked to the finished product. We are that joy. In our lives, do we look beyond our financial, our checkbook? Do we look beyond our time issues and our limits? Do we look beyond all of these things? And do we actually see the outcome and say, this is what we rejoice in? See, Caitlin did a fine job presenting to you, but she forgot the key factor to the whole thing. She didn't ask for your money. She needs support. Would we have joy in supporting a young individual who has a desire to enter into a mission field? Or are we going to scrutinize and figure out if it's a worthy cause? That was another lesson I learned from one of my pastors in Painesdale years ago. We'd get to a point where people would ask, can we give to this? Can we give to this? And he would say very plainly, it's God's. It's their responsibility to do what's right with it, not ours. We give it in faith that God will allow it to grow. Do we do it with joy? Time can be another issue. Jesse Aho will gladly write a check or give some cash. But will I actually go there and serve? Wow. He says very plainly, that God has done this because of His goodwill. And it brings Him pleasure. And as imitators of Christ upon this earth, does it not bring us pleasure when we act in the same way? When we serve? He says, to the praise and to the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us what? Accepted in the Beloved. This speaks very much of Christ. We have become acceptable in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is where we look. We don't look beyond this. Paul is saying very plainly to us, we have found our acceptance in and through Christ Jesus. We have a tendency as human beings to run around and find our acceptance in other areas. And then we're disheartened when we don't get it. We try to find our value in the world. We try to find our value in our job. And I'm not saying they're not important things. They're important. But our value is found in who we are in Christ Jesus. You are way more valuable than you know. How do I know this? Because Christ died for you. Whether you know it or not, whether you're here as a guest and you're just curious about this Christian thing, you have more value than you'll ever know because Christ Jesus has seen you. And He went to the cross for that joy, you, that was before Him. Wow. We are in reality accepted by the Beloved. He says, in whom we have redemption through what? The buying back, the purchasing back through His blood. The forgiveness in reality of our sins. This is a beautiful gift. And we have it in different fashions. Even as our churches move forward in different areas, we've kind of lost maybe touch with some of the traditions of the older things and this and that. But it doesn't take the value away. By faith through grace, we have redemption of our sin debt. And we still express it and we still speak about it, even in the understanding of the apostolic faith through confession and absolution. It's not me. I'm not forgiving anything. I'm not the one that you need to receive absolution from. I profess in reality, or another brother and sister in faith profess to you the reality of Jesus Christ paying for that sin debt. We are what we call assuring. May we never lose sight of that beautiful gift. Even if others have abused it, may we never lose sight of it. And I'm not making accusation. Some may feel that way, that it has been abused. But it doesn't mean it doesn't have value. That when we're feeling burden, when we're feeling struggle, when we're feeling doubt in reality, if we're even on the right path, that we can go to one another to encourage one another to hear the promises of God. But our sin debt is paid. It is paid in full through the finished work of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Christ we are washed clean. Our sin in reality is as far as the east is from the west. May we rejoice and praise God, because it says very plainly, in whom, this Jesus, we have redemption, the buying back, and the forgiveness of our sins. He says, how? According to the riches of His grace. Unmerited favor. Immeasurable. You can't even measure it. If anybody took a risk on grace, it was God. He's a big boy. He can handle it. He created all things. Wherein He says, now we stand and we abound towards us. He abounds towards us in wisdom and prudence, giving us this understanding and this knowledge to relish in this forgiveness. Not to be mopey, not to be sorrowful, not to put men under conditions, but to rejoice in this forgiveness. To know my debt is paid. I've given you this example before and time is running out. I got to get cracking here. But man alive, can you imagine? If someone came to your house and you had such a big mortgage on your house and you couldn't even think of paying it and you lost your job and you didn't know what direction to go and everything you're touching is falling apart, and someone came along and said, you know what? It's done. I feel sorry for you. I have compassion for you. That's what compassion means. Sorry with the ability and the means to help. I'm going to pay. You're off the hook. Would we not rejoice? Would we not rejoice, and would we not brag about this individual, even though they say, please don't say anything, I don't want the popularity. And that doggone Steve Poe, sorry, he's such a nice guy, he paid off my whole mortgage. Oh, is he awesome? He didn't, but, you know, I keep hoping. Because we would be so moved by that great gift. Our God has given His only begotten Son, that we would have the buying back and we'd have the forgiveness of our sins. We have no debt before us. Will we not brag? Will we not enjoy the gift? Or do we feel it's old school? And some others, and some other congregations on the other sides of the countries have ruined it. I've ruined a lot of things. With my human hands in life, I've ruined a lot of things, but you know what? They still have a value, even if I didn't appreciate it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's forgiveness has a great value. God's forgiveness should be proclaimed throughout all places. And if we, in reality, still believe in that gift, that's what I say, not a have to, not a do, not a must, not a tradition that we've got to follow. If we believe in the gift of encouraging one another, then we should utilize it. Because that's the gospel. For God has forgiven us in and through Jesus Christ. He has paid our sin debt with His blood. That is something to rejoice in. I'm not going to go into exacting manners. That's all foolish garbage of man. He says very plainly, and we're going to skip ahead here, because I am out of time. Although my daughter told me today, because we're going out to lunch at 1, I could take my time and speech a little longer. So Cheryl, don't put this one on the radio. So anyways, I'm going to jump to verse 13. He says, now speaking of Jesus, okay, well, I'll go to 12. That now we should praise, now we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now once again, do you hear the qualifier? There is this faith, there is this trust, okay? He says, in whom we have also trusted, after we heard, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God, heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It is the good news of your salvation. Christ has died for you. He says, in whom also, after you believed, faith, you were sealed. You were given the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what that said? After you believed. Now, I have respect for tradition. Laying on of hands is beautiful. Speaking in tongues is true. Baptism is important. Doesn't say after someone laid hands on you. Not saying it can't happen that way, please. Qualifier. Can't say it can't come with the speaking of tongues. That's not what I'm saying. But it's not always the way. We like to be system worshipers. We like to figure it out. It says faith in reality. Faith is always the key ingredient. It's after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were given this. And he said, what is this? He said, this is actually the down payment of your salvation. That's really what he says. It is the earnest of our inheritance until this redemption, the buying back, the purchase possession, until in reality, the consummation of all time. He says, unto the praise of his glory. This is what we have been given. We do not wander in this world as meaningless people. We don't wander in this world alone. When we speak of the Trinity, we understand of God the Father. We understand of God the Son, who stands as our advocate. And we understand the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us and equips us to live upon this earth to bring Him honor and glory. We are not without purpose. We have the gift of the Spirit. We're not blindly trying to find our way into this world. Unless we're trying to do it on our own. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to speak, to pray, to live in this world as more than conquerors. It says even when we don't know what to pray for, and I've been there, I look at something, I'm like, oy, oy. It says the Spirit makes intercession for us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my granddaughter says it's time to end this sermon. But the one thing that I do want you to know, our sins are forgiven in Jesus' precious name and shed blood. May we rejoice, may we share, and may we truly celebrate this gift. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to be around your word. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. And we thank you, Father, for your Godhead. We may not fully understand it, but we know your Scripture points to it. You are real. You are everywhere. And most of all, you work in our favor. May you be blessed. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.